Hey everybody, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless. And you know what? Something we deal with a lot. Wireless, something I deal with a lot. I would imagine you guys do too, but wireless deployment efficiencies, WDE. So what do I mean by that? Wireless deployment efficiencies, that's where you make the deployment as efficient as possible. This is something the customer wants, obviously, to cut costs. And you want too, obviously, to cut costs. I know the customer, you know, they just want to lower the price. You want to raise margin. So if you can cut costs, that'll raise the margin, right? So when you bid a job, looking at the scope of work, you make a lot of assumptions and you put those assumptions in there in your deployment when you respond with your version of the scope of work, okay? So do you know what efficiencies can be driven from your employments with from your deployments with proper planning? Maybe I'm asking the wrong question. Let me ask you this. Did you ever have a PM, which project manager, for those of you who aren't with it, or a foreman call you and beg you to do a job or a task that you didn't know about until the last minute? Oh yeah, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Right? I mean, we've all had that, right? If you're in the business for any length of time, you probably had it happen again and again and again. And depending upon the customer, that determines whether you'll do it or not. You know what I mean? So why is it that the customer's emergency becomes your problem? Probably because something got missed or something changed at the last minute. It happens quite often. It happens a lot. You know, we're trying to make the customer happy here. So you guys have to balance how good this customer is. For instance, if you're working for, and I hear this a lot too, if you're working for a company that asks you to do them a favor at the last minute and then they don't pay you, that happens a lot, fellas. I mean, that's something that just drives you crazy. So I just want to make you guys aware that this is something that can happen because you're trying to go out there and do a good thing and you get screwed over. So chances are you won't ever do that guy a favor again. We all complain about how screwed up deployments can get. You know, there you are. You know, unless you're doing one or two sites, you know, if you're doing a string of sites, it drives you crazy when things get screwed up. Or if you're covering several regions or if you got to drive like from one state to another state to do a onesie, that drives you crazy. You know, especially when we're in the receiving end of a schedule change or a last minute install, we also hope to get paid for those emergencies. Now, sometimes we ask for a change order. Sometimes we just do it as part of the deployment. It all depends on how you write the scope of work and your relationship with the customer. Trust me, I've done a lot of jobs as a favor to the customer just to keep the customer happy. Again, good customer, happy customer, they go hand in hand. If it's a new customer, you might do it to make them happy. And then if they screw you over, which happens quite a bit, then you probably won't do them any more favors. And they may or may not care. A lot of these guys just go on to the next contractor. So it really wasn't a good customer, was it? Just some jerk trying to screw you out of time and money. I wish I could say that wasn't common, but you can talk to a lot of guys who've been in the business for a while. They're out there now. Also, the guys that have been in the business for a while appreciate their good customers. They're more than happy to go out of their way to help those guys. So anyway, I want to look at this up front. What can we do to help the situation out? To improve efficiencies, to improve deployments? How can we look to save time and money with WDE? Okay, planning is very important. It sounds obvious, but most of the time, poor planning is pinned on the contractor when in reality, the PM or the customer just missed something or didn't listen to the people who do deployments all the time. I've seen that a lot. It's easy to blame the end guy, just like, you know, the climber. Easy to blame the climber. He's the last guy on the site. You know, he's the guy doing the work. Let's blame him, bozo. I mean, what was he doing? He couldn't do it faster. He couldn't do it quicker. He couldn't go out there in that snowstorm, that ice storm, that rainstorm. He couldn't go out there with lightning all around him. He couldn't do that. I mean, what the hell? Does he know we have to get done today? Does he really need all that safety gear? Does he need to go up there and put the lifeline on? Does that really matter? Can't he just do the job and get done? He could have saved an hour there. All right. Being a wise ass, but for good reason. A lot of the times, the guys that don't do the deployments, they just want it done, okay? That's their job. Get the job done. So a lot of time, I'm just, you know, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but the point is we get driven to these crazy schedules. I bring it up all the time that scheduling's a real problem. So sometimes if we can just plan better and stick to the plan. That's what usually happens. A lot of times people miss something. They want to show progress anyways. Let me go on here. Sometimes a customer pivots to get something done that they didn't foresee. I get it. They want to get something done. It changes a plan. It's nice if you get paid for that. Other times, permitting can free up in one market or at one site unexpectedly. Permitting is still a big variable. You know, those site acquisition people, you got to give them credit for dealing with crap like that. Now, the feds are going to make it better. I think it was CTIA and probably PCIA that was pushing the bill through, or help. They were pushing the feds to push a bill through so that maybe we can get that alleviated on these deployments, because it really slows things down. Leasing, not so much anymore. Now that the towers are being consolidated, usually if you have a contract with, if you have a lease with, say, one of the big companies, you can roll pretty quick. Now and then you find a tower that's difficult to get on, but they usually go pretty quick. Now, you still go back and forth with leasing issues or areas or zoning or whatever, but anyways. So permitting can be a big issue too. So you have a lot of issues there. Now, if you pointed something out prior to the deployment, just get over it. Just forget it. If scheduling becomes a major issue, just remember that when you say, "I told you so," that won't accomplish much, except maybe to anger somebody and piss somebody off, or they'll agree with you. I don't know. Depends on your relationship with the customer. So instead of saying, "I told you so," maybe you could offer a suggestion on how to improve the situation. Or again, you could try to get a change order and get more money out of the deal. But you should already know what to do, right? Because you told them what they should do. Make it a discussion, not an argument. I just want to throw that in early because I think that's a common problem that a lot of us have. So what do? You work with your experience. You make sure that your SAL, your scope of work, for those of you that don't know SAL, has the information to make sure that you get paid. Make sure that you're a partner in the deployment planning. You want to be a partner. You want to have a talk with the PM or the customer and figure out the best way to deploy without breaking the budget. Because remember, you are a team in this. Now, I don't know your relationship with the customer. Most customers today, in today's world, want a win-win. So what you're going to want to do is, again, offer suggestions to help them. Now, with that said, when it's the time of the deployment, all you can really do is play catch-up, right? So I'm going to flash back here, go back to the beginning. Most of the time, it starts up front, usually with the site surveys. If the survey is done properly and the planning is realistic, then many of the problems should be avoided. However, what other kinks can happen, like permitting delays, changing the design post-survey? A lot of times, I'm going to use a carrier as an example. They might want to add sectors, or say if you're deploying a dish, let's say a microwave link between two sites, they might change towers or change height, or they can't go to the height they thought they could. A lot of issues like that. So a lot of those factors can ruin efficiency. So what you want to do is be sure that in the planning, you can be as efficient as possible and do everything you can to make the best out of your planning ahead. Make the best out of that time. So when you're bidding a job or when you're working on the SAL, make sure that you're already thinking of the time to market. You want to improve that time to market and you want to control costs. So what efficiencies can be found? Well, I'm going to tell you what I noticed in deployments. It's going to seem like common sense to most of you, but believe me, I see it again and again and again. So the savings that can be planned out there. If the site survey is done properly and documented well, then the installers will have no effort in the deployment if everything's done right, if you get the right hardware. So this will include not only the installation information, but building the proper bill of materials. It all goes hand in hand. Documentation really helps. Pictures that can be shared with the installers and the equipment vendors can really help. Now, by the equipment vendors, you know, let's say you have a VAR or a vendor, make them your partner. Show them what you're up against, tell them what you want to do, and then see if they have any suggestions, because they talk to all these installers and deployment people. They might be able to help. So many companies, something else I want to bring up, that for site surveys and estimating, Many companies put their best people on this. And the reason they do that is because they want it done right to avoid problems later. That's why you put good people on this. I have seen companies in the past, they put the new guy on estimating. That it's not always a good idea. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the new guy doesn't have the experience to know that if something's in the way or a Roan 25 weight, let's say he's going on a Roan 25, something real light for something simple. He doesn't know the loading of that. He doesn't know it's a simple tower that can't hold much. He doesn't know if it should be guide if they put something heavy up. Can hold a lot of weight, but needs to be supported, guide, good foundation. He might not know to look for all that. Whereas your experienced guy is going to know what tower to use and what mount to use. And chances are they'll get to the point where they'll know it off the top of their head. So that's why I'm bringing all that up. That is why a lot of times you want a very experienced guy doing estimating or doing the site surveys. Now, my next bullet point here is that if the same company is doing the installation that does the survey, the transition usually goes much smoother for the actual deployment. Now, I'm not advocating that all the carriers or customers or project management companies have to go out there and use the same company. Well, I am, sort of. If your company does both, you have no excuses not to do it. And I've talked to project managers that have learned that. They prefer if the installer does the surveys, because then the installer can't come back to the project manager and say, hey, the survey didn't show this, this, or this. And he'll say, hey, dummy, you did the survey. You know, your company did the survey. What are you yelling at me for? So, because remember, the site survey is where the final bill of materials is going to be built. The BOM is going to be built off that. That's very important. You got to understand how the progress goes. Just so you guys know, a high level, this isn't in the blog, but you know, it starts out with the RFP. When an RFP is given out by a customer, chances are they didn't survey every site. They may have. That'd be great if they had every detail in there. Chances are they don't. They're going to do a best guess. The OEM didn't either. So when you're working with an OEM, whoever's equipment it is, they're going to give you all their equipment and recommended mounts, and they're going to guess at what goes out there. And that's how they're going to do the RFP. They're going to do the RFP based on what the best guess is. And they're going to try to do it cookie cutter. So the site survey determines the details, the changes in the BOM, the changes in the scope, the changes in the work. So the installer can go out there and say, I have the right mount, I have the right grounding kits, I have the right hardware, I have the right cable entry hardware. They're the ones that have to deal with all that. I mean, it's just something to think about. I just want to stress how important a site survey is. And if the same company that's doing the installations did the site survey, it is very hard to come back to the customer / PM or / whoever and tell them you don't have the right parts or there was something unexpected at the site, unless somebody changed the site between the time the survey was done and the installation's done. That when there's a lot of builds, like what's been going on lately, that happens quite a bit. So I just want to make that clear. The installer can be really slowed down if they're missing parts. It's a problem. So if the PM plans out the permitting the best they can, then the installer should be able to move in an orderly fashion. Now, that's hard to do, but it may get better if the permitting process improves. But here's what I mean by that. A lot of times, if you have a project manager that's been around the block, he knows what cities permit in what speed or what municipalities, whatever. But permitting can slow everything down because some townships, you know, they have their monthly meeting and they might table it till the next month. I think I told you guys, very frustrating. Like I said, hopefully the feds are going to change this. The federal government was going to pass a law that you didn't have to go through all that tedious process for every deployment because it adds a lot of time and costs. So the PM should know that. So they should understand that permitting can be a real problem and the complexity of the process, they also understand that. So they should be able to keep everyone updated in the status, and they should also have a best guess as to when it'll get through. And the reason that's so important is because you want to batch sites in an area. For instance, let's say you're doing one state or one city, one region, whatever it is. If all that permitting's done and you can move, you move. You know, if all the permitting and zoning is done and you can do 10 towers in one area, that's great. But if you have to do one or two towers in one state, then drive 8 hours to do one or two towers in another state, there goes a lot of your cost and drive time, windshield time. Another thing I want to talk about is warehouse and staging. It's very important. It's used to be overlooked quite a bit. But let me tell you, if you have a good logistics team, it makes a world of difference because they're going to keep everyone up to date. They're going to let you know exactly what's in stock and what isn't in stock. And you can't get mad at the warehouse and staging team if parts aren't there. They're waiting on the vendor to ship it, okay? They're waiting on whatever you're using, a VAR, like a Tesco, a Hutton, or a Tally, or somebody like that. They're waiting on them to ship the parts. A GME supply, not sure what GME, I don't know if they do mounts and stuff like that. But they're waiting on someone like that to ship it. So if the part's not there, you can't get mad at warehouse and staging. But what you do expect is when it does get there, if they do the staging, you want all the parts in one area. The other thing, you know what I mean by site. That's usually how they stage it. The other thing you want to make sure is that the warehouse keeps track of what comes in and what goes out. Being installers, we like to just pick stuff up and walk out. We just do. It's easy. You pick it up, you walk out. That's not how it works. The warehouse should make sure that everything's logged when it walks out. It's a pain in the butt for the warehouse because you usually have these huge warehouses and like two or three guys working it. Or they have, you know, two or three guys that watch over everything at any given time. So it's up to you, the installer, to make sure that you know exactly what you took out. Now, if it's staged properly, you can just say, I took out site 1,334. And everything in that area should be there. It's up to you, the installer, to make sure that you looked over the parts list and make sure you have everything. If you get out on site and something's missing, it's on you, unless it was in a box, the box was clearly marked, and the box is missing hardware. Then you go back and forth with the project manager and the vendor, and you know, you guys just complain and argue with each other. But the point is, you get to hardware. That's what you're going to have to do. Sometimes you get replacement hardware, whatever. So that is why staging is very important. It really does matter. So the next thing I want to bring up is commissioning. Now, why do I bring up commissioning? Because that's a big part. After installation, usually you have someone who commissions the site to make sure everything's done right. I'm not always saying up in the air, but now with all this fiber that's run up in the air and the jumpers and all the remote radio heads, usually you want your guy that's going to commission on site right after the installers are there so you don't have to make a second trip. So as soon as you finish installing, the commissioning team or guy, whoever it is, or person, sorry ladies. So the commissioning person will come on site. It's really great if they're connected at the hip. If they know each other's schedules and they're talking, that's really great. Now, in the years ago, PMs didn't like that. They didn't like different teams talking. They wanted complete control, which made a lot more work for them. And quite frankly, it didn't give them more control. They lost control because they might have missed something or else, you know, they're trying to schedule with two people at the same time. But if the installers and the commissioning team, if they're connected at the hip and your commissioning team comes out there to power it up and test the RF and everything while the installers are still there, that's awesome. That's what you want. Because then there's no second visit. There's no second trip. Cuts cost, cuts time, brings everything up quicker. The commissioning guy's there while the tower team's there to test everything. Life is good. Things move quicker if you can schedule it that well. That all comes down to scheduling everyone together and get everyone talking. So it really helps. So deployment planning needs to be shared with the team. If the PM has a priority list, then he should make sure that the installer and the warehouse are on the same page for that list. Very important. I didn't put in here, but probably the commissioning team too. I think that goes without saying. But the PM should have that list and make it known to everyone on the team what the priority list is ahead of time. Don't tell them after the fact. Don't say, what are you doing in New Jersey? Maryland was a priority. It doesn't do anyone any good. You want to have that list up front. It could change. I'm not going to lie to you. It's frustrating when it changes, but at least you know it before you went out to the site, right? So the other thing that really helps efficiencies, batch sites by region. This is probably the one thing that can really save costs, especially from the installer and the commissioning team's point of view. Because if you can go to one region and get 10 sites done, it saves a lot of time and money. Saves you travel time. It saves you. What you could do, if you know it ahead of time and you can plan, a lot of times you can go out to the hotels or you can rent an apartment if you're there for a month or two. And we did that. I worked on a team that we would constantly, if we were going to be in one area for 3 to 6 months, which we've done, We would just rent an apartment. Way cheaper than paying for a hotel. Well, it depends where you're at, but it's usually cheaper than renting a hotel, getting a room. Now, you know, you might have to, you got to, there's a lot of costs that go into that. I could probably do a whole other segment in that, but you're in an apartment. It's good to have a cleaning lady once a week. Guys, make your own beds. You know what I'm saying? Or you're going to clean it yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. Most installers don't clean anything themselves. Place is going to look like a pigsty when they leave, right? Not saying everyone. I worked with some guys that were very clean and kept things orderly and very tidy, but I also worked with some slobs, and I was somewhere in the middle. It all depends how much time I had. If I had to work Friday night till 6, I went straight home if I could go home, you know, because chances are from where we were working, home was between a 4 and 5 hour drive. So, okay, with all that said, if you're in one area, you can save time on that region. Save time on hotel costs, overnight stays, maybe even food costs, whatever. But it's just something to think about. It's best if you can do that. It doesn't always work out, again, because leasing, zoning, permit, those are all variables that seem to be a real problem in this job, in this business. So it really helps. I'm going to go back to the PM again. If everyone understands what the big picture is, if you're doing deployments, understand what the big picture is. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes the deployment team will get caught up in the deployment of their priority sites because they don't think about the system. Now, you got to remember, you got to look at it as a system, because the deployment of the sites, you may be ahead of, say, the core. Is the core ready? Are the controllers ready? Is that area licensed and ready to be turned up? Is there going to be power in that area? Sometimes you want to get those sites up so bad that you go out, you do the site, and there's no power, or there's nothing to go back to. There's no network connection, whatever. You know, it's just not planned very well. So you can bring everything up live, but you can't test anything. So what's that mean? They test it a month or 2 months later. That means you have to come back if something's wrong. And it's going to sit for 2 months with no power, no testing, all by itself. Nobody out there watching it for a month or testing it or remotely monitoring it. So you got to come back. It's a second trip. Second trip, if there is a problem and you're two states away, you got to get a repair team back there to work on it. And you would like the team that did the install, but chances are the team that did the install is doing another install, and they're right in the middle of another install. So you're going to bring two guys back. They're going to come back. I say two, it could be four, but let's say you bring a team back. They're going to come back. They're going to critique the other guy's work. They might want to redo things. They don't know what was said or done originally, why things are done a certain way. It just could be a problem. I know every site's supposed to be the same. Well, trust me, when you go to different regions, it's not always the same. Different towers, every tower has their nuance. So you do it a little differently. So also with that said, a lot of times you do it just to make the customer happy. I mean, a lot of times the customer just wants to show progress in an area, even though it can't get turned up for months. I've been there too. And it depends on, again, your relationship with the customer. Are they a good customer? Do you want to keep them happy and so on? So the next thing is have the right tools for the job. I'm going to use big things here, but it goes down to small things too. In other words, if you need a bucket truck, then get a bucket truck ahead of time. Order it, reserve it, whatever. Don't wait till the last minute. If you need a crane, get a crane ahead of time. Plan. If you need a welder, if you're going to weld, make sure you have the manpower to do that, or make sure you have the person, your welder on site. You can't wing it. You got to know what you're doing here. So, well, I just mean plan accordingly. And that goes on the installers, because they're the ones bringing all this stuff in. Unless you're, to save money, your PM thought he'd take control of that, then it's on them. So the next bullet point I brought up before, but the overnight stays, you know, a lot of times you can save money by negotiating a long-term lease in an apartment if you know you're going to be in there. That's up to you guys. I'm just trying to save you money, and I'm trying to drive efficiencies into the project. The more efficient you are, the more money you save, the less cost you have, the higher the margin. Margin's big. So the next thing is learn what you're installing. Now, if the OEM has a new piece of equipment for the first time and you're going to go out and install it, that happens. You got to start somewhere, right? You got to learn about it. So it really helps if you have the proper training. So if you're installing something, make sure that you're trained properly on that equipment. You want to make sure if you're doing the installation, you want to make sure you know how to ground the equipment, how to mount the equipment. I'm going to use a remote radio head here. So the RH, do you mount it vertically? Chances are if you mount it horizontal or an angle, it could get water in it, right? I've seen this. So is it required to be mounted vertically? If so, then mount it vertically. Are you supposed to weather seal each connector a certain way? Like, you know, we always use vapor seal tape. But maybe they have some other way to do it. Maybe you don't need to weather seal it. Maybe it has a gasket in it that they think will last. I really haven't seen any of them last that long. So you want to make sure that you know what you're doing. If there's a method of process from the OEM, you probably want to know how to, you probably want to copy that, like even the manual. But if the customer has their own mop, you want to use that mop because that's what the customer wants. You're working for the customer, not the OEM. Chances are good you're working for the customer. The OEMs do hire people, but I think the customers want to do more of their own work now. So they're usually very different too, because the grounding practices are different. The way you route the cables are different. The fiber termination could even be different. You know, I'm just throwing this out there. So if you know the proper process, it'll cut down on return visits for the punch list. Remember, to get paid, you still got to do the closeout package. You still have a punch list to complete. So the other thing that's nice, if you can have someone on site when the inspection's done, here's why I say that. A lot of times these inspections are done randomly. A lot of times because the guy that does the inspections just shows up whenever, wherever he can, and he doesn't tell anybody. But the project manager should know what's going on. So if the installer can be there, say the commissioning guy, whoever's supposed to take care of the repairs during or after the inspection, make sure that they're on site as well, because a lot of those problems can be handled quickly and easily. Now, I'm not saying if there's a piece missing or something like that, but let's say grounding's not done right, the cable's not tied down right, and anyone who's done some carrier work in the past, especially like Verizon Wireless, I know they used to have so many nuances with the way you route the cabling and run the cabling. It had to be like, I don't know, what was it? Like the jumpers inside, they had super flex jumpers inside they used to run. Used to have to be a half inch apart, and I mean, they were anal about it, which is great. But if the installer's not there, delays the site, right? Site's not going to be up till the installer comes back, and then he's got to measure all that and do it again or whatever, or there may be something he missed, or maybe he just doesn't understand what they want. That happens too. A lot of times you have different inspectors. Different inspectors look at different things. If everyone's there at the same time, the inspection can get completed and the punch list can get knocked out all in one day. That would really speed payment and closure of the project, or at least of the site. The PM would be able to schedule this, but they need to be aware of how much time this will save. I think a lot of PMs don't think about it. They think, oh, the inspection's done. I'll check it off the list. Now I got to get the installer back there to do the punch list. Then I have to come back for another inspection. You know, it's trip after trip after trip after trip. You know, inspector, installer. If everyone's there the same day, it's much better. And I think you guys know this, but yet I still see it. I still see that happening out there. Another thing is site prep. This is something I see all the time. Now I bring up permitting again because it's a sore spot in leasing. But you know what? Is power ready? Is everything there that needs to be there? Is it if they had to reinforce the structural of the tower, is that done? You know, just verify as much as possible before you go out there. And I've seen installation teams that go out there and they expect everything to be ready and nothing's ready. You know, they show up and they're like, there's no power. I've been to sites where they said install everything. They show up, there's no shelter. The PM's like, well, do what you can. And then the PM's like, well, why did this site take 8 weeks? Well, it took 8 weeks because there was no shelter there, you moron. Then you had us come back and there was no power there, genius. What do you expect? I mean, you're cutting into the cost of your installer. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of PMs in the past just didn't care. They're like, ah, hey, what do you want from me? It's not there. That's not taking responsibility, people. Everyone should care about the project and everyone should try to be as efficient as possible. If nothing else, it'll make the end customer happy. The customer wants to have everything run efficiently. They don't want 32 trips to one site. We always have nightmare sites. I get it. But you want to do the best you can with what you got, okay? So I just put these things in here to help you out. And I know most of it seems obvious. And I know you guys are probably looking at this or listening to this saying, duh. Well, let me tell you something. Why is it still happening then? Huh? You know? Riddle me that, Batman. It still happens. It's still a regular problem. It really is. So now I get it. We can't always see problems, but let's just take care of the basics. Maybe then we can move forward. So, and you know, I have my feedback form in there. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you have seen derail a deployment. I mean, it can almost be anything. We see it all the time. Just let me know. So, hey, another thing, support Hubble. I'm a big fan of the Hubble Foundation. Give what you can, because remember, they're supporting an injured tower climber's family. And we had 11 fatalities this year and many more people that got injured, serious injuries. And you got Jet and Kathy out there trying to take care of these people because they've been through it. They lived through it. They understand what's going on. So thank God for the Hubble Foundation. Again, you know, if you're listening on iTunes, leave me a review, please. Tell me how I'm doing. If you're listening on Stitcher, let me know. Give me some feedback. Subscribe. I got a new products page. I put the link in there. I want to let you guys know, you know, my scope of work training package is out there. It's a tutorial to get you to understand how to use a scope. Tower climbing, the introduction is out there. I put it in an audiobook form for you guys because a lot of you guys want to listen. And then I have my other books. So get out there. Get with it. And I'm trying to help you guys. I hope you understand, you know, these are all learning tools for you guys out there climbing. So I'm doing the best I can. Give me feedback. If you want something different or if you want something better, let me know. If you like them, if you hate them, let me know. I'm just trying to do what I think's helping you guys. I'm really doing a lot off the feedback you give me. So just give me a heads up, will you? I'm coming out of the monthly. I have a monthly newsletter. Give me your name and an email address. All I need is your email address. I'll put you on it. Basically, I just put all the links in there for my blog and some of my other stuff and some other news too. So I'm going to start putting some extra stuff in there. All right, everyone, be smart, be safe, and pay attention to what you're doing. Because if you don't pay attention, chances are nobody else is. All right, take care, guys.